As the Lord is pleased to help me, I venture to speak to you in his name from the words found in the 130th Psalm and the 5th verse. Psalm 130 and verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. There is a strong connection between waiting and hoping, for we shall never really hope, we shall never really wait unless we have some hope of that for which we wait. If you were waiting for a friend at the railway station, you would not continue to wait after the last train had come in and there was simply no hope at all of anyone else arriving. So that waiting is the effect of hoping. It is because we have some hope that we are prepared to wait. And if that hope is strong, then that waiting will continue. And when that hope fades away, then there is a danger that the waiting will cease. And so we need that hope to animate and revive and invigorate this spirit of waiting. For the one will very much continue as the other does. And waiting is really the proof that we do have a hope. If there is that continuing to wait, it is because there must be in us that hope of obtaining that for which we are waiting and looking and watching. And I do so hope that we shall realize and know the experience of the psalmist here, for this is so evidently the pathway to the Lord's blessing and appearing. In this particular and fundamental matter of the Lord's mercy and pardon, it is so, but also in so many other matters. This is so suitable in a variety of circumstances and exercises. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Oh, what a mercy it is if we really found in the experience and exercise of the dear saints of God, as recorded thus. Well, here then we have, besides waiting for the Lord, hoping in his word. Beside it, and very much related to it, is this hoping. And we must first consider the grace of hope, for that is what it is. It is one of God's most precious gifts. It is here, this hope is that spiritual principle so connected with faith and love. Faith, hope, and love, really the three principal active graces of the children of God. And they also are so connected together. Now, hope, first of all, means an expectation. According to that word we read in the psalm this morning, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. The psalmist was waiting because he was hoping. He had that expectation of the Lord coming and appearing to him and granting him that for which he was so waiting. The Apostle Paul expressed it in his own exercise from the prison at Rome and said this: according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, even now, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That was his particular hope. The prospect before him, because of the Lord's goodness to him and because of God's faithful word, that if he lived, it would be a life full of Christ, and to die would be to be forever with the Lord, which was even better. What a hope and what an expectation he had in that. This then is an aspect of hope. The hymn says concerning that rest remaining, that faith believes it, hope expects it, but it overwhelms them all. Now what faith really believes, as far as the promise of God is concerned, then hope will expect. It will look to possess what God has promised, not on account of any supposed worthiness in us to receive it, but simply because God has promised it. The psalmist said, in his word do I hope. Well, the grace of faith also means not only expectation, but there are other further aspects to it. It means also an anticipation of that which is expected. Now, we all know something of this concerning matters in life which we hope to realize. If there are those things which we look forward to receiving, then there is that anticipation of them. There is that bringing them forward in our thought and our enjoyment into the present. There is some degree of present enjoyment in the anticipation of that which is yet in the future. Paul could say, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He had such a hope in God's reaching that glory and beholding the glory of God in Jesus Christ that he rejoiced in it already. He anticipated that which was still in the future. And that is a part of this hope. And clearly, I feel in this psalm, there is that. The psalmist says, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. For those that watch for the morning do expect it to come. In the ordinary course of the continuation of these natural cycles. And there is already that anticipation, that enjoyment of that which is yet in the future. It is such a strength and encouragement to us in our needs to bring forward into the present in thought and feeling those things which are yet to come. And there is this aspect then of hope. It is forward-looking, and it is in a sense forward bringing for those things that are yet to come. The Apostle Paul, again concerning those future things, he said, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man those things which God hath prepared for us. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, and in that revelation there was that enjoyment. And so with regard to this great matter of forgiveness, in the hope itself there is a measure of comfort and joy. I do believe that in the experience of the Lord's people in these things, there is this often before the full blessing comes, there is the enjoyment of that hope which is raised up within them, and which already causes them to anticipate what the Lord has promised to give. And then also in this hope there is a confidence, a gracious confidence, a measure of that assurance, the full assurance of hope of which we read. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence. The teaching of the Holy Spirit of God brings us to have no confidence in the flesh. There is no reason at all for any confidence in that direction, but there is every reason to have confidence in this God who has so spoken in his word. The psalmist goes on to say, "Let Israel hope in the Lord." Let the people of God have this confidence in him, for he is so worthy of all trust and confidence. We read of that in the psalm this morning in the 27th psalm. The psalmist there was in a strong measure of faith, and he could say, "In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." He was looking forward to this, and confident that the Lord would fulfill his hope. We do so need more of this confidence. The Apostle Paul expressed it again in that epistle to the Philippians as regards the children of God there. He says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will fulfill it, will continue it unto the day of Jesus Christ." That work would be completed. He was sure of it. He had this confidence that God would never forsake his own work, but would continue that which he had begun. He also says concerning that future hope that was so strong in him, he said, "We are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." His hope of heaven and glory was such that he was always confident. He had that persuasion and assurance that the Lord would do what he had promised to do, and what he had given him that hope concerning it. Now, dear friends, have we such a hope? The hope of the believer is so expressed in the word in that way. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner hath for us entered, even Jesus made the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That is, after that everlasting manner, an everlasting high priest without beginning of days or end of life. Now the apostle is there saying that the Lord Jesus Christ has made the one offering for sins as high priest, and he has gone into the veil, into heaven itself. And then he says that our hope is like an anchor which has entered into heaven itself, where the Lord Jesus is. It has entered within that veil. Our hope is where he is as the intercessor, continually at God's right hand, and that hope, he says, is like an anchor of the soul. Well, every ship needs an anchor. Those on the river here are kept from being swept away by the tide or the variations in the waves by the anchor that holds them, a hidden anchor. Now have you that which is like an anchor to your soul? The hymn says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. It is fastened to the rock that cannot move, fastened, sure, firm in the Saviour's love. It cannot move, that rock. Oh, what a mercy it is to have an anchor to your soul, something that keeps you amidst the storms and the tides of this present life. Well, the psalmist had this hope in the Lord through his word. And you might feel, well, that your hope is only rather feeble. And certainly, like other graces, it does vary and vacillate in its power in the soul. We are dependent upon the Lord for his Spirit to maintain and revive in us this precious grace of hope. In itself, it is a pure grace. But of course, there may often be many of our doubts mixed with this hope, which tends so much to weaken its effect. Now, how can our hope be strengthened and established and confirmed? How can it be made stronger? Well, in any case of hope, the strength of that hope really depends on the foundation on which it is built. According to the grounds of that hope will be the strength of it. You may have concerning some things that you would like a very tenuous and faint hope of actually possessing the object of your hope in life. It depends very much on the reasons that you really have for hoping. Well, here the ground of hope is plainly before us. The ground of the believer's hope is the Word of God. In his Word do I hope, the psalmist said. And I hasten to say that this is the best ground you could possibly have. Never was any other hope built on such a good foundation as this. It is better than the most striking experiences, the most vivid visions, the most elevated feelings. It really is the best, may I say, the best that God himself can give. His own unchangeable and infallible and inspired word. My dear friends, it is so sad and so inexpressibly sinful, the fact that we are so reluctant to rest our souls upon this foundation and our hope here. Here is a word that cannot possibly fail, and yet, alas, how slow we are to put all our trust here, to hope in his word and that alone as being the all-sufficient ground of our hope. But if we do, the more consider it and realize how precious and faithful it is, that will be a help to strengthen our faith under the divine blessing and confirm our hope in his word. what a priceless foundation this is for hope. You know that in natural things we would hope according to the character of a person. If someone promises you that he will do something for you or give you something, your hope of obtaining that will be in proportion to your estimate of the character of that person who has spoken. If it is someone who is constantly unreliable in those things that he says, then he will not have very much hope of that being fulfilled. But if it is a person who has the greatest integrity and determination to fulfill what he has said, one who is noted for fulfilling his promises as far as he is able, then your hope will be so much stronger. But in all natural things there is no real comparison with the one who has here spoken to us in his word. He is almighty to do what he has promised. He is unchangeable in his purpose. And he is altogether faithful to his word. This is a foundation which cannot possibly fail you. If you build your hope upon the word of God, you may be absolutely certain that that hope cannot fail. It cannot possibly be ashamed if it is really built on the word of the living God. The apostle wrote to Titus concerning this and wrote, he said, in hope of eternal life. Well, of course, everybody would desire to have a real hope of eternal life. But that hope must be according to the foundation on which it is built. And Paul says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That promise was in Christ and to him before the world began. It is as old as that, and it continues and will ever continue. That word is later revealed in the scriptures. That hope of eternal life cannot possibly fail. That God who has spoken, he cannot lie, because it would be contrary to his unchangeable nature to do so. And so also concerning that wonderful promise made to Abraham, and the oath by which God was pleased to condescend to confirm it. Abraham was at Jehovah Jireh, and the Lord had appeared to him there. Then he said, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That was through Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, the promised seed. And then we read concerning that God, who has in his great goodness given to his people, to all believers, to all the children of Abraham, these two immutable things. Two things which cannot possibly change, ever. His own promise and his own oath. By two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before us, that hope which is as an anchor of the soul. Now, dear friend, have you fled for refuge to lay hold of that hope set before you so plainly and so constantly in the gospel? Have you really fled there? Well, if you have the best possible reason for the strongest consolation, because that hope is built upon the promise and oath of a God who cannot lie. It is impossible for him to do so. What better ground could we really have as the foundation of our hope? Let us consider further concerning the benefit of having such a hope as this, the wonderful support that that will give. The psalmist had such a hope as this. Surely he would have been overwhelmed by his sorrow and his distress had it been otherwise. But he says, in his word do I hope. What a great blessing is a gospel hope. How much good it really brings. Surely it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of God. It will support in times of trouble and trial, in the midst of the difficulties and the trials and the troubles of this life. The apostle wrote such a word in that connection. We are saved by hope. We have this wonderful support of this grace of hope. We are saved by hope. But that which is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. If we hope, then we wait. And if we wait, we shall obtain. Well, then also we must consider a little further the great breadth of this foundation. How wide it stretches, and how much it contains, this word, which is the foundation of the believer's hope, the testimony of God concerning his dearly beloved Son. Now this word contains much instruction. It contains a great deal of testimony concerning God himself, truth concerning his own unchanging character. Again and again we read those words concerning him. As I have reminded you recently of these things, that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. He is plenteous, abundant in his mercy. Really, the mercy of the Lord runs all through this wonderful revelation of himself. The scriptures testify with such a loud and clear voice that God is full of mercy. And he is a most merciful and condescending and compassionate God. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. He is slow to anger, but by no means slow to show mercy. The fact that often we have to wait for him to reveal himself is never to be taken as an indication of anything else. It does not mean that he is slow to show mercy, but that he is wise in causing us to wait. There are good reasons for this pathway. But how merciful he is. Well might we sing concerning it such words as those, without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair, but through thy free goodness my spirits revive, and he that first made me still keeps me alive. The door of his mercy is open all day to the poor and the needy who knock by the way. No sinner shall ever be empty sent back who comes seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. Does that include you? Now here then in the Word of God, the truth concerning himself is plainly before us, that he is of great mercy, that he is rich in mercy, plenteous, abundant in mercy, and that mercy through Jesus Christ is so set before us in its breadth and depth and length in the gospel. And then also consider in the Word, which is the foundation of our hope, the testimony of the people of God. As you read the scripture, how plain it is that there are so many who have found mercy. Sinners indeed they were. Many of them had committed atrocious deeds. And of course the whole is by no means revealed to us. But they found mercy. One of our hymns said, "Who of mercy need despair, since I have mercy found?" When we consider those in the world who may have sinned very greatly, sinners like Manasseh and Mary Magdalene, and David in his own sad fall, oh, how great and deep was the mercy of God toward them. This is the testimony of one. It may be, as I've said, of Hezekiah, who did certainly come to taste the mercy of God and could say, "The Lord was ready to save me. He has cast, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption." The Lord Jesus himself spoke mercy and pardon to a number who came to him. They came to him in their sinful state. They were no more worthy than any of us, but they found this mercy. There are these examples in the Word of God of those who did know the wonderful mercy of God in their experience. The Apostle Paul said, "I obtained mercy, I who was a persecutor of the saints, who haled men and women to prison." No doubt many of the dear saints of God were put to death because of the testimony of Saul and Tarsus, but he said, "Yet I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." And David could say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, who forgiveth all thy sins." This is a truth which is so exemplified in the cases of the people of God recorded here, and of course all through church history as well. But then also consider in the Word, as the foundation of our hope, the wonderful and sure and plain promises of God. There are these precious promises which are such a strength to the hope of the people of God. I have mentioned many of them doubtless to you before, but they will surely bear repeating. The Lord says, "Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Sinners are welcome to the sinner's friend. The gospel says to them, "Come." He himself said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." promise in that chapter also runs, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For no doubt in the promises of God, he says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And there is such an abundance in the promises of God, such exceeding great and precious promises, really, to meet every case. The Lord has in his word given us so many precious and sure promises of what he will surely do. Oh, what ground there is to hope in his words. What sure and unshakable ground is here. What a foundation for our faith, as that hymn expresses it, and we might well include our hope in that. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more could he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Well, also we must briefly refer also to the God of this hope. What is the hope of the people of God? It is not merely that they might find forgiveness, although that is such a precious and priceless blessing. It is not merely that they might find peace and rest for their souls, although that also is so wonderful and so good. The scripture so declares and reveals what is really the substance and the sum of the hope of those who fear God. So happened in my reading this morning, I came to that chapter in Jeremiah where three times this is put before us. O Lord, the hope of Israel, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. The Lord himself is really the hope of his people. The same is expressed concerning the Lord Jesus in the New Testament in the first epistle to Timothy, where Paul writes to him in that way and speaks of the commandment of God and of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who is our hope. He himself is our hope. He is the very centre and substance of it all. For all that we need is found in him. It is the same, really, as we noticed this morning. The psalmist says, I wait for the Lord, and in his word do I hope. The word is the foundation of that hope, but the Saviour is the full satisfaction and supply and centre substance of that hope. To find him is to find all. What is your hope? Now, if the Lord appears to us, then we really have all that we can hope for. All the expectation of our souls, if it is rightly according to the word of God, centers in him. For he is the great subject and theme of the word. It is Jesus Christ and him crucified who is the hope of his people. That a Saviour once crucified in weakness who now liveth by the power of God. This was the apostles' great hope. That was where they looked. What was their anticipation? It was, as I said of Paul, he said, "To me to live is Christ." That was his hope in life. And to die it was to be with Christ, which is far better, because it meant a fuller and a more immediate entrance into his presence. To be with Christ, to be like him, to see him as he is. Why? This is the hope of the children of God. They need know nothing more than that. To possess the Saviour is to possess all. And thus it is that the bride so rejoiced at the least sign of his coming. In the song we read of that, "The voice of my beloved, lo, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." It was first as though she heard his voice in the distance and knew that he was coming to her. "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." Oh, I would say to you this, my dear friends, as the Lord may help you, put all your trust in the word of God. Rest all your hopes there, in what he has revealed concerning his beloved Son, and those sure promises which are all concerning and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, then, is matter for prayer. There is so much as we constantly find to pray over in these things. How we need to realize what a sure foundation is here. Oh, my dear friends, and especially dear younger friends, how we do need this God-given conviction that this is the unchangeable Word of God, and that if we do build our hopes there, we are absolutely safe for time and eternity. And how we do need then to pray that the Lord would so establish his word in our hearts and establish our faith and hope in it, that we may wait the more steadfastly and patiently for his appearing. We may find that we are at times ready to faint and our hope grows weak, and that really is because we have lost the sight of the wonderful foundation for our hope. And here, of course, also is ground matter for pondering over. What a wonderful word this really is. How much we do need to meditate upon what the Lord has said concerning his mercy, concerning this pathway to the blessings of God through Jesus Christ. Here the psalmist was in a most promising position. This was, he was well on the way to obtaining a blessing. He was in that attitude and that condition where it was certain that the Lord would soon appear to him, when he could say, "I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." To wait for the Lord and to hope in his word, these really are, so to speak, sure signposts on the way to the Lord's gracious blessing. For he will surely bestow himself upon those who really wait for him. May the Lord graciously bless his own word. Here is matter also for perseverance. Here we have in the psalmist's example that attitude of patient, persevering, and earnest waiting for the Lord's blessing. His whole soul was in this. He was not half-hearted or vacillating or wavering in his waiting. His heart was set upon that for which he hoped, and surely the Lord was soon to appear to him in that. And here we have in the Word the greatest encouragement really to wait as he did, so to speak, to intensify our waiting, to cry more earnestly and more constantly upon the Lord. The psalmist, my dear friends, was on the sure way to the Lord's blessing, because it was his own, God's own appointed way to bless this dear servant, and his Spirit's teaching had brought him to this, as it brought us here. For may we all know what it is to wait for the Lord and to hope in his most precious word. Amen.
Close with hymn number 244, Jean Sheffield 235. Our Jesus is the God of hope. He works it by his power. It holds the weak believer up in the distressing hour. The darkest cloud of hope pierces through and waits upon the Lord, expects to prove that all is true throughout the sacred word. Hymn number 244.
Jesus is the Lord. He works it by his power. It holds the weak believer up in the distressing
to grant them these great and vital graces. Where there is that hope, O Lord, do bring it to fruition, those who do wait for thee and hope in thy word. O, do appear unto them, we pray thee. Do bless us with the substance, the vital fulfilling of our hopes in Jesus Christ. O, do grant us, we pray thee, nearness to him, communion with him, that we may know that he is indeed our Saviour and all our hope. Do bless thy own word, we pray thee. We do thank thee for all thy goodness, for thy gracious help and presence. O, do bless each needy soul, we pray thee, according to that need, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, abide with us all. Amen.